Okay, everybody, this week's Parsha is Parshas Ekev, another beautiful Parsha filled with flowing, lengthy, gorgeous psukim. And again, definitely, you know, check it out if you have time, a few minutes, maybe on Friday night, just read over. Beautiful Parsha to kind of just check out. And basically, just to recap quickly before we dive into the Torah, Moshe starts off by telling Bnei Yisrael the reward for doing mitzvos, including you get blessings for your kids, your parnasa, right? No infertility, right? No illnesses, right? You defeat your enemies, right? A lot of good stuff for following the Torah. Right? We'll have to talk about that exactly. What does that mean? What kind of following the Torah are we talking about? He tells Bnei Yisrael not to fear the nations of Eretz Canaan, that Hashem will help you defeat them. Lessons from Hashem, he talks about lessons from Hashem taking care of us in the desert and warning us not to get complacent when things continue to be good, when we have wealth, when we have health, etc. Right? Don't forget where it comes from, right? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a recap of certain sins that Bnei Yisrael did in the Midbar, right? Like the Egel. Moshe recaps that he dove into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem forgave them. The second Luchos, right? That Moshe got 40 days and 40 nights again on Har Sinai as a reconciliation between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. Beautiful pasuk that says Hashem, that Bnei Yisrael, what does Hashem want from you? We'll have to talk about Mashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach, right? A beautiful pasuk that we'll mention. Moshe continues to remind the Bnei Yisrael about all the miracles that Hashem did. We have the parasha of Vayayim Shamoa, right? The second paragraph in Kriyat Shema, and finally he recaps that if you keep the mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you, and you will inherit the land. Okay, so just a couple things to talk about, and yeah, let's get started. Parsha starts off Vayayikev Tishmun. If you listen to the Torah, the Kosh Baruch Hu will give you, right, all of this blessing. What is the deal with the word Ekev? Like, the word Ekev is extra. L'chora, I could have just said Vayayim Tishmeun. Right? If you listen, or Vayayim Tishmeun, and when you listen, what does it mean, Vayayikev Tishmeun? Right? So, literally, what does that word mean? The word Ekev comes from the Lashon of a heel. Right? Yaakov was named Yaakov, because he was hanging on to the heel of Esav. But Rashi there says, what do you have to do to get all the bracha that is listed in the Parsha? So Rashi, ima mitzvos akalos sha'adam dosh be'akvav tishma'un. Right? If the small mitzvos that a person crushes with his heel, if you do those mitzvos, right, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, v'shamah Hashem alkecha l'cha, es ha-bris v'es-ha-chesed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep this bris, will keep this covenant with you, right? You get all the reward listed in the Parsha. And the little things that Rashi says, right? The smile to the cashier, right, at the supermarket, right? Helping your sister with her homework, right? Running to the store, right, for the item that your mom forgot for Shabbos. It's the small mitzvahs that get you this amazing reward, that these amazing children, amazing crops, and no miscarriage, right? All these types of stuff, right? All these no miscarriage is also a tremendous bracha, right? We may not realize, right? You guys are not yet in that parsha, but you'll get there to have a healthy pregnancy, mitzvah shem, to have healthy children, etc. Right? It's tremendous bracha, right? How do you get this tremendous bracha with the small mitzvahs? Chazal tell us at the end of Maseches Makos. This is a phrase familiar to the guys, because, you know, in between Mincha and Maariv, after Dvar Torah and Shul, we always, you know, they always, somebody always already says this so they can say Kaddish. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Omer, Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael Fikach, Hir B'Lam Torah B'Mitzvah Shenema Hashem Chofetz Amatziko Yidu Torah V'Yadir. But let's take that slowly, because usually they say that really fast, and Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Omer Yidu Torah V'Yadir. That's basically how it sounds in Shul. Anyway, but what does it mean? Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Mezake Am Yisrael, right? To give them a schus. Right, to give them good things, to take care of them. What did Hashem do? Lefichach, therefore, hir b'lem Torah mitzvos. He increased. He gave them many mitzvos. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Hashem chafetz l'mantziko. God wants your righteousness. Yagdil Torah v'yadir, let the Torah grow, etc., etc. So Hashem wanted to be mezakos, as the pasuk says. Hashem desires our righteousness. So what did He do? He gave us a lot of Torah mitzvos. Meaning, Hashem didn't give us more reward for the harder mitzvos. But He gave us a lot of mitzvos. Right? A lot of them are harder, but a lot of them are easier. Right? No, Kosher Baruch Hu gave us many, 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 many mitzvahs, as the Rambam says in the Perish Mishnayos, there on the Mishnah Makos. Right? It's impossible that a person will not do, Rambam says one, I would imagine, a couple of these mitzvahs with his kavanos, and the Rambam there is talking about proper kavana, but it's impossible that a person will not do one of these small mitzvahs, right, during this time, right, during his life, and then earn eternal reward, right? So the Rambam says, right, to doing an easy mitzvah, that's what we're talking about over here. To do, we think the small mitzvahs are not important. Right? We don't take any pride from them, right, which is natural, right? It's not natural for a person to be like, I'm a great smiler, or I'm a great eater of food on Shabbos. But these are mitzvahs. These are legit mitzvahs. It's super important. That's what the Parsha says. If you listen to the small mitzvahs, you get the list of the entire, all the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lists off in this Parsha. And don't just turn down an easy mitzvah because you don't feel like it. Right? That's the Yetzer Hara talking. Right? There's great reward even for the easiest of mitzvahs, just like the Parsha says. But it goes even deeper than that. Rav Melech Biderman quotes the Tiferes Shlomo, which again is the Radomska Rebbe, we've quoted before. He explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, loves any effort, right? He says, "Kol b'chinas hisorus la'avdus haTorah v'tefila." Any little hisorus, any extra effort in Torah and Tefila and Yiddishkeit, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves afilu she'enu karoi, even if it's not entirely fulfilled, even if it's not entirely perfect. Every single inkling of inspiration, of trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to daven, trying to arouse within a person the feelings of a desire to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every even little effort is supremely valuable and cherished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'm not even talking about small mitzvahs. Now we're talking about different kavanas, different intentions and efforts of Avodas Hashem within mitzvahs. Right? Even that is supremely valuable. Right? If a person is working on their brachos and they spend an extra second or two on their bracha, amazing, right? If you're trying to get to shul on time and you get there half a minute early, I don't mean because like it happened to work out like that. I mean like because you're trying, so that's amazing, right? So then you're putting in the effort to grow spiritually. Even that is supremely valuable. If you look in the Siddur for one more word of Shmon Esrei, right, and you tricked translation for one more word, and now you understand tefillah one word better, so that's incredible. That's what we're talking about. But on the other side, on the flip side, of the Averos side, so to use an exaggerated example, if a person struggles with treif, right, and usually you order a Big Mac and cheese with two slices of bacon, and they're trying to work on themselves, and now they only order one slice of bacon, again, not because that's what they're in the mood for, because that's what they're trying to grow and improve, that's amazing. And if you only hold hands with your boyfriend instead of other stuff, so because you're trying to grow and keep the Issur D'Oraisa of Negiya, amazing. It's not only the tiny mitzvos, it's even different levels within mitzvos and within halachos that are valuable. Rav Melech quotes a discussion between Rav Chaim Vital and the Arizal. Rav Chaim Vital was the Arizal's main Talmud. The context is a bit convoluted, so I'll spare you. But basically the Arizal said that nowadays even one cry, even one groan that comes from the heart, right, and from a place of getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is considered as if someone fasted many fasts back in the day. Because our generation is, right, like you read it, Sadoros, and our generation is lower, whatever. So the underlying lesson of Ekev Vaya, Ekev Tishmaun, is every little thing counts. And don't discount the little stuff, right? Even the small mitzvos, and even details within mitzvos. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about details. The details are supremely valuable. And let that be a source of inspiration and chizuk. If you feel like maybe you're not, quote-unquote, getting there as fast as you'd like, so still, you could celebrate the little victories. Even if it's one strip of bacon on a cheeseburger instead of two, right, celebrate the little victories, right, and get chizuk from that. Okay. Now, we mentioned there are a lot of beautiful psukim in the Parsha. Moshe suggests that we're going to try and hit on a couple of them. Moshe says a couple of times, while recapping the sins of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, he says, very funny phrase. He says it in Perek Tes. He says in Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Chaf Dalet. He says the phrase "Mamrim Heisem Im Hashem," that you were rebellious with God. And the word that's strange in that phrase is, as you might imagine, is the word "im," is the word "with." Right? You would think it would have said "Mamrim Heisem." I don't know, neged Hashem. Maybe you were rebelled against God, or you were versus God, or you whatever. It doesn't say that. It says twice. It says on purpose. It says later in Sefer Devarim. I think in Nitzavim also. Mamrim Heisem Im Hashem. You were rebellious with God. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that like you and Hashem are best buddies and like the two of you plan to steal a teacher's test before the final or something. Like, what does it mean you were rebellious with God? Right? What is going on over here? So the Nitziv writes that it's actually another critique of Am Yisrael. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so close to them, even though they were all with Hashem in the Midbar, Hashem was ever present in their lives, still, Bnei Yisrael were rebellious. And Taka, that makes a lot of sense, because one of the things that Bnei Yisrael said when they complained about the man and the water after leaving Mitzrayim was Hayesh Hashem Bekir, really the water, I think, Hayesh Hashem Bekir Bnei Imayin. They complained, is Hashem really in our midst? So even when Hashem, yeah, obviously was in our midst and taking care of them, right, they were complaining. But I thought, not that my opinion is really valuable, but with much trepidation, I thought that the pasuk was suggesting the opposite. It sounded like it was much more comforting. That even when we rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, he's still with us. That even though Ma'amrim Ha'isem, that we're rebellious, still we're Im Hashem. We're still with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, we usually feel like after we do some sort of chait, right, either it's a serious sin or something we struggle with and we do it all the time, right, we just feel like Hashem hates us. Right? He doesn't want anything to do with us, doesn't want to hear from us, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Right? There's a pasuk in Yechezkel that we say all the time, and Slichos and Yom Noraim davening is coming up. Right? And the pasuk starts off, it's, let's see, where's the marker? In Perek Lama Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph. So, Amar Aleihem, Amor Aleihem, say to them, Hashem tells Yechezkel, Chai Ani Nuhum Hashem Elukim. That's a form of a shvuah. Kosh Baruch Hu is saying a shvuah. He's quote-unquote swearing. Im Echpots B'mos HaRasha, do I really want the Russia to die? No. Ki im b'shuv Russia mitarko v'chaya. I much prefer, says Hashem, he's swearing that this is true, that he would much prefer that the Russia does tshuva and lives. Right? Then he said, and the pasuk finishes, shuvu shuvu mitarkechem ha-ra'im, go do tshuva from your evil ways, v'lam ha-samuzu, beis Yisrael. Why Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to drift farther away? Obviously, we're going to talk about tshuva a lot in the coming weeks, not only because this week is Shabbos, Mevarchim, Chodesh Elul, but because of the central theme of the Pesukim at the end of Dvarim, Parshas Nitzavim, etc. But here, what does it mean? It means even when we rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I thought that it seemed to imply that still we're Im Hashem, we're still with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I was very excited to see that Rav Shofar Hirsch, actually writes that both of these Pshatim are true. Right? That both of them are correct. They're not, what's the word? They're not mutually exclusive. Thank you. They're not mutually exclusive. Both musters are true. On the one hand, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always so close to us, we rebel against him. That's unfortunate, and that's true. It's also true that even though we rebel against him, he's still close to us. Right? Both of those things can be true at the same time. So those are two musters that we can remember from that single pasuk. Right? How close HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, right? On the one hand, how dare we, you know, revolt and rebel? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking over your shoulder. Right, if you had role models and teachers that were looking over your shoulder, I bet you'd, the internet browser history would be a little different. On the other hand, right, when we do fall, so we have to remember that even though, yes, there's definitely a distance as a result of the chait, and we distance ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's for sure true, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's closeness is always constant. It's us that's pushing ourselves away, right? We're putting the distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sun. We're the planets that are distant. Well, the planets don't really go farther away. All right, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us. Right, he's always waiting. He's always waiting for tshuva. Right, it's crucial to remember, right? When you start with Chodesh Elul, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always ready. Right, we say in the Sana Tokef, Ad Yom Moso Techakalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits till the last moment, last day, and we should try and take advantage. Mitzvah Shem. Okay, Pazuk in Perik Yud Pazuk Yud Beis is I try not to say the word famous because then people feel bad, but it's a pretty well known pazuk. And if it's not well known, you've definitely heard reference before. If you're not word by word, I do want to read it word by word, and then we'll just kind of like analyze it quickly. If I tell Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach, Moshe says, all right, let's be real. And now, Bnei Yisrael, what does God really want from you? I'm just translating. Ki im liyiras Hashem Elokecha, to fear him, laleches bechol derachav, to walk in all of his ways, uliyahava oso, to love him, V'la'avodas Hashem Elokecha, to serve Him, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with your entire heart and your entire soul. L'shmoras mitzvos Hashem, to keep the mitzvos, the chukosav and the chukim, and the mitzvos you don't understand, asher nochi mitzvavcha ayom, which I command for you, l'tov lach, and it'll be good for you. Now, Moshe, if you kind of read between the lines, and you're trying to read it like a story, sounds like Moshe's been like, come on, what's a big deal? What does God really want from you? And it's not my question. Gemara asked this question. The Gemara in Brachos in Daf Lamed Gimel says, "What in the world?" Right? The Gemara says, "V'chi milsa zudrosa hi." What? That's not a big deal. That's a little thing. What does God really want from you? To fear Him, to go in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all of your heart, with all your reason. Really, that's not a big deal. That milsa zudrosa. That's just a tiny nothing. So the Gemara says, fascinating. In yes, the Gabi Moshe milsa zudrosa hi. For Moshe, it was no big deal. It was just a small little thing, so that's why he said it. Problem is, if you read the Torah, and we are, Baruch Hashem, reading the Torah, you kind of get the idea that Moshe was not clueless in terms of Am Yisrael's either faults or abilities. It strikes me as very strange that Moshe Rabbeinu would be completely disconnected with the rest of Am Yisrael. Yeah, okay, so for Moshe Rabbeinu, who freaking talked to Gosh Baruch, who spent 40 days and 40 nights on the Har Sinai without eating a single thing, spoke to God whenever God called him, did countless miracles. For him, the Yiras Shemayim wasn't a big deal. So he's like, yeah, come on, people, it's not a big deal. Of course it's a big deal. You think Moshe didn't realize it was a big deal? So what does the Gemara mean? So even though the Gemara says, yeah, for Moshe it wasn't a big deal, fine, that doesn't help, because it doesn't make sense that Moshe would be giving Musar based on his own level of Yiras Shemayim, and not be in touch and in tune with, first of all, the Jews in his generation, and second of all, the Jews of all future generations, that this would get written down in Sefer Tvarim. So what's going on over here? So I heard an approach from Rabbi J.J. Schechter when I was in YU, but there are also other Hasidic Rebbes I've seen take this approach as well. And that the Gemara, the language of the Gemara says, Legabe Moshe Milsa Zutrasahi. Now, legabe Moshe can mean for Moshe, but legabe can also mean next to Moshe. Next to Moshe, it's not a big deal. And basically, when everybody goes into the shmooze, and we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but when you're next to someone for whom mitzvos and your shemayim and all this type of stuff is not a big deal, so it becomes easier for you. Right? When you, what was Moshe saying? You're saying, yeah, hang out with me. Now, he was going to die, fine. But what he meant was hang out with the me's of the generation. You hang out with me, it's not a big deal. Right? If you have good role models, you have good chevra. Right? Again, we spoke about this. But when you're around other people who are doing it, even though it's something that sounds difficult to you, so then you can do it too. Right? And again, when you surround yourself with good chevra and good influences, so then it makes it much, much easier. And much less daunting. Okay, I can't talk about Parshas Ekev without talking about the tremendous Yesodos about Parnassa found in Parshas Ekev. If we had time, frankly, and if it was a different type of shir, I would read to you the entire, we would go through the entire Parakhas. Parakhas is a master class in Emunah and Bitachon, and specifically about Parnassa. I'm going to try and obviously do it justice over Zoom, but let's. If you have a chance to read it, also, if you have a chance to read the whole parsha, but if you have a chance one part of the parsha, I recommend Perikhes. Of course, this other stuff is also valuable. But anyway, let's try and recap a little bit. Moshe basically mentions that the man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Bnei Yisrael in the desert, right, was this amazing, miraculous thing. Except Moshe does it in a very curious way. Instead of kind of harping on the miraculous nature of the man, Moshe says several times, right, that Hashem did this. He gave us man in order to test Bnei Yisrael, which is weird because I thought he gave them man to keep them alive in the desert, which has no food and no water. But that's not what Moshe says. Moshe says in Pasuk Beis, he says in Pasuk Tes Zayin, he says several times that Hashem afflicted them in the desert for this purpose. Ibn Ezra explains he didn't give them extra pleasure, just gave them exactly what they needed. The Pesukim say the clothing didn't wear out, their feet didn't grow swollen. So, two questions. First of all, what in the world was the test of the man? What's a test? Hashem rained down bread every single day. They had plenty of food. What is a test in that? Pesuk said that several times, says it in Parshas Bishalach also. And what was the purpose of afflicting Bnei Yisrael in the desert? Just giving them exactly what they needed and not more. So first of all, what was the test? So there's several opinions, as you might imagine, several opinions in the Rishonim, in the Parshanim, what the test of the man was. Again, there's a similar pasuk in Shmos, Perek Tet Zayin, but let's use the pasuk in our parsha. The pasuk in our parsha says, "Hamachilcha man bamidbar asher lo yodu navusecha." Right? Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael that Hashem fed you man in the desert that your forefathers never knew, right? Laman anosucha ulaman nasusecha, in order to afflict you and in order to test you, to do good for you in the end. So what in the world is going on in this pasuk? First of all, what is the test? Second of all, what is the affliction? And third of all, how is this good for us, right, in the end? So the affliction we talked about briefly, as Ibn Ezra writes, right, as Bnei Israel complained already much in, earlier in Sefer Bamidbar, right, that the man was enough for basic sustenance and not much else. Right? Again, yes, it tasted amazing, but they didn't have, you know, a cupboard to go, you know, to get some munchies and a freezer for ice cream if they wanted. They had food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them what they needed. They were alive and they were fine. I'm sure they were satisfied to a point. And that was it. So that was the affliction. What was the point of that? We'll talk about it in a second. What was the test? So I said, as I said, big machlokas in terms of what the test was. Rashi and Shmo says the test was if the Jews would keep the halachos of the month. The month specifically, not to leave it over until the next day, not to go out to look for it on Shabbos, etc. The Ramban says that the entire experience was a test, right? That going into the desert without food, without water, no hope, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And hoping that the man would fall every single day, literally every single day for 40 years. So that was an exercise in Emunah Bitachon, right? They didn't, Hashem told them once that they were getting man, and yeah, it happened every single day for a couple of years. They didn't know if it was necessarily going to fall the next day. Yes, I would imagine at some point it became like the sun rising. It does every single day, so I guess the man will show up. But it was a test to jump into that river, shall we say, to go into the desert where there was no food whatsoever, to have their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Ramban, that was the test. But we mentioned previously, I think it was our Shir on Tisha B'Av, so I'm not sure if it was mentioned in any other Shirim, but the Or HaChaim and the Sforno and others point out that, no, the test was the fact that Bnei Yisrael had everything taken care of in the desert, that they had, where they were sustained every single day. They had nothing to worry about. They didn't need to go to make a job. They didn't need to make. They didn't go to the farm. They didn't need to go out to the fields to plant food, etc. They had nothing. No parnasa worries whatsoever. They had food. They had clothing. They had shelter. They had water. Nada. So says the Or HaChaim, says this morning, when all your needs are taken care of and you have all the time in the world, what are you doing with your time? Right? Are you spending 8 hours on Netflix, or are you spending your time doing chesed, learning Torah, etc.? Right? The Jews in the Midbar literally had no parnasa worries. Nothing to worry about. Man, slav, and water every single day. V'chule, v'chule. That was the test. The test was, what do you do with your time when you have no responsibilities? And my Rabbi, Rav Yonason Sacks, right, when we learned by YU, now he's with Shiva at Landers, used to say that's the barometer for how well a person is doing spiritually. During the school year, during the work year, whatever stage of life you're in, right, there are always excuses not to learn, not to do chesed, not to do mitzvahs, and sometimes legitimate, right? You should not be going to visit, you know, an old age home at 2 in the afternoon if you have a 9 to 5, right? That's completely legitimate, right? In school, in college, if you have class, you have homework, you have to study, completely legitimate. But when you're off in the summer, or during Sukkot break, or Pesach break, or whatever, how do you spend your time? Right? When you're free of responsibility, well, what do you do with that freedom? Right? Do you bum around, or do you go and accomplish stuff? Right? I remember Sack said that a person can accomplish worlds in the summer. So that's the test. That's the test of the month. Now, how is that good for us in the end? Well, frankly, the psukim themselves kind of explain the lesson of the month. Just to paraphrase, just to start from Pasuk Yud Aleph, again, I'll just try and paraphrase, just transliterate without transliterating. Right, just Hishamar Lacha, you should watch out, right? Don't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Make sure you keep all the mitzvos that I'm commanding you, because maybe you'll eat and you'll be satisfied, and you'll build nice houses, and you'll start living in them, and you'll have a lot of cattle, and you'll have a lot of gold, a lot of silver, and everything, your possessions will increase, and then your heart will become haughty, and you'll forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who took you out of Egypt, who took you into the desert, who took care of you, saved you from snakes and scorpions and thirst, who gave you water from a rock, who gave you mud in the desert that your forefathers didn't know, right? And you'll say, but you may say in your heart that Kochi v'otzim yodi asali zechay lazeh, that my own strength and my own koach created all of this success for me. V'zacharta as Hashem lokecha, no, remember Hashem. Haki hu anosein lecha koach lasos chayil, really Hashem is the one who gives you the strength to be successful, right? And in order to fulfill the bris, in order to fulfill, right, this agreement that he made with us to keep the mitzvahs, then he'll take care of you. Oh, but then if you'll forget Hashem, and you'll go after foreign gods, and you'll worship foreign other gods, you're going to end up being destroyed, just like the other nations that I'm going to destroy in front of you, right? If you don't listen, right, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem is saying simply that a person will become fat, right, and kind of complacent, and praising himself on his own success. But most pointedly, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, okay, Moshe again says that Hashem gave us the man. Why? Laman hodiacha, to teach us, to tell us, ki lo al halechem levado yichya adam, because man does not live on bread alone. Ki al komotzafi Hashem yichya adam, because whatever comes out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, that's what man lives on. What was the test of the man? To teach them, to ingrain in them. It's not the bread. It's not the planting. It's not the reaping. It's not the field. It's not all the efforts that you did. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The bread, yes, the bread is what keeps us alive. Well, where does the bread come from? The bread comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We do not live based on the work of our own hands. We live based on the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, we have to put in our ishtavlus. Absolutely. That's a mechilta in Shmos in Perek Tzion right over there, right by the man. How to balance our ishtavlus and emunah, a couple opinions over there. That's not our discussion right now. But make no mistake, you have to have a job. But it's not the job that pays the bills, right? It's not the 8 years in law school. It's not the countless studying for tests that makes you successful. Yes, you have to put in the effort, but it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Just like he rained down bread from the sky in the desert, he continues to rain down bracha and shefa from the skies for us. That's the source of our parnasa. That's what Moshe is telling Bnei Israel not to forget, right? Don't forget where it comes from. I was super inspired by someone who called me last week. Well, it's not calling me anymore. They left me a voice note on WhatsApp, which is hilarious. And by the way, what I prefer, because sometimes I can't answer the phone. But they said to me, fascinating. They said they're feeling jealous of their friend's success in the summer. And they want to know that maybe they should give Meiser on the money that they're making, because it'll make them less jealous and it'll refocus them. First of all, I was super blown away that was where they thought. Right? I didn't suggest that. They said that was their question. Right? It was so inspiring. Because that's exactly the point, right? Realizing that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you give 10% of your earnings to poor people, you're not losing out. You're doing exactly what Hashem wants to do with the money He's blessing you with. And the Gemara says, if you, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back, etc. But that's not the issue right now. But not only are you using the money that Hashem gave you for the right things, right? It'll help a person not to become jealous of other people's successes, because you realize that it's not your own efforts. It's your ishtadlus, but it's not. Everything is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Why should you get jealous about someone else's success? It's like if a person is in farming, right? A person's a farmer, and you look over at your neighbor, the fisherman, and you say, "Man, I wish I had that many fish in my field." I mean, like, what in the world is what the heck does that have to do with anything? What does the fisherman's success have to do with the farmer's success? Nothing. It literally is nothing. Their two are entirely unrelated. That's how we should view everyone else's success. Right? That's how we have to view it. Now, it's hard if we're in the same field and we're friends and we're roommates and we're neighbors, etc. That's hard. But that's how we have to view it. The two are entirely unrelated. Right? There's no sense in getting jealous of other people, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us with what we need, blesses them with what they need, and the two are entirely unrelated. Now, it is true that some people are unsuccessful. And we pointed out, Moshe said a couple times, right, that Hashem is going to unfortunately afflict us, right? Vayancha vayarivecha. We said, Lamana nasosecha. Sometimes people are not as successful as they'd like to be. Right? And so Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael that that's part of the entire Parnassa process. Right? In addition to the test of Parnassa, right, there's also sometimes some affliction. Now, why is that? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to make us, quote-unquote, not successful? Why can't we all just win the lottery, get the best jobs, etc., etc.? So Rav Melech quotes the Noam Megadim, the Rav of Tarnagrad in Russia in the early 1800s. The answer is in the Pesukim. Right? No more complicated than the Pesukim. Pasuk says, when a person is prosperous, he has no Parnassa worries, they're more likely to bum around and fill their heads with problematic ideas. Right? We read in the Pesukim, right? If you get rich and you get fat, fat is not here, it's actually in the Pasuk in Hazinu, but when you get rich and you get wealthy, you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So it says Rav Melech, whenever a person is faced with a deficiency, with a lacking of some sort, right, a person should know that it's specifically because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to reach out to Him and to internalize further that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Who cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for parnasa? Not the billionaire. Right? The guy who's lost his job, Rahman al-Islam, lo aleinu, or he can't pay the bills, or whatever it is, that's the person who cries out. So if a person is not as successful as they think they should be, right, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to get a little bit closer, to call out to Him, to refocus and remember where the parnasa comes from. Right, that's why the pasuk says, "Kasher yaser ish es beno, Hashem elokecha miyaser echa." Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts us just like a father afflicts his son. Why does a father afflict his son? He doesn't want to afflict his, to put pain on his son. He's not doing it to inflict pain. Maybe the father doesn't give his son an allowance, right? To teach him the value of money or the importance of a job. Maybe he doesn't give him the car because he got a ticket for speeding. He wants to teach him to be careful. That's where it's coming from. Right? Rav Melech quotes an unbelievable gra. Unbelievable gra in Sefer Rus, right? We talked about Megillah Sefer Rus. In Megillah's Rus. Right? We talked about that Shavuos time, right? In Sam. If you remember the story, Nami, when she comes back to town, right, after losing everything, right, and people are like, "Is this Nami? Right, is this Nami who left? Right, it was wealthy as anything, and all of these kids, etc." So Nami says to them, "Al tikreno li Nami, don't call me Nami anymore. Kreno li ma, or kreno, something like that. Kreno li Mara, call me Mara, which means bitter." Ani, and the pasuk finishes off, "Ani milaya halachti, I left and I was filled. Vereikam eshivani Hashem, and Hashem brought me back empty-handed. Hashem brought me back with nothing." And you read that pasuk, as I always read it, and I assume that Nami is complaining about how bitter her lot is. That she used to be this super wealthy Spitz person, and now she has nothing. Right? Don't call me by my old name. Call me bitter, because my life is bitter, and Hashem took everything from me. The Gra says something amazing. It's actually just the opposite. When a person has everything, as we've been pointing out, there's a greater chance that they will kick away their creator. And the pasuk says, again, I kept on referencing being fat. That's why the pasuk in Hazinu says, "Vayishman yishurun vayivat," that Bnei Yisrael got fat and they kicked, meaning they kicked away HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the opposite is true. Meaning it's almost not chas shalom lo aleinu, but it's almost better for a person to have a little bit of adversity in their life, so that they will get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven and internalize that Hashem is the only one. Right, is the true source of salvation, right, and prosperity. So when the people were shocked, they were like, "This is Nami who had all her riches, who was so wealthy, this is what happened to her?" And she said, "Yeah, I'd rather be Mara than being Nami. I'd rather be Mara, because when I was Nami, I had all I could ever ask for. And look what it got me. Right, what did? We left Eretz Yisrael, my husband died, my children intermarried, then my children died, and one of my daughter-in-laws converted and she's with me. I have nothing. And only when I had nothing left, only when Reikam, when I had nothing, then had Shivani Hashem. Only then did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring me back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? When did I get back to Eretz Yisrael? Only after Reikam. Only after I had lost everything. So Nami was saying in her tremendous righteousness that I prefer the Mara, I prefer the bitterness. Now, lo aleinu, I don't know. We'll say that about everybody. We should all be zocha to much hatzlacha. But that's a test of parnasa. That's why we all don't just win the lottery. Because being rich is just as much a nisayon as being, I don't want to say poor, but being moderately well off. Right? Maybe even bigger of a nisayon. Right? How will we spend our money? How will we spend our time? So if you ever feel like you're not being as successful as you might imagine you should be, so you only have, 1,000 views on your TikTok as opposed to your friend has 10,000 views or whatever. Or you're only making $4,000 this summer and your friend is making $15,000. So don't think of it as if you're being scorned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's a natural human reaction. No, it's quite the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to bring you closer to Him. Right? Gamzul Tova, this is what you need. And maybe the $15,000 would make you complacent and cause you to spend the money in ways that are not entirely wholesome. Right? Have the bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you need. Along those lines, I just talk about the last topic for today, right? When a person truly realizes and internalizes that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Like we talked about in Mesillas Yesharim and Perek Yud and Nikias, the only natural response is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank Him for all the good that He's done for us. Maybe that's Perek Tes. We have to chazer. Okay. Either way, in this Perek, Moshe says almost the same thing twice. Moshe says, again in Pasuk Beis, "V'zachartaz kol haderech asher lichecha Hashem Elokecha zeh 40 shana b'mibar." You should remember the entire derech, the entire way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you the entirety of the desert trip. And then he says in Pasuk Yichas, "V'zachartaz Hashem Elokecha." Right, you should remember Hashem. Because he gives you the strength to be successful. Says the Sefer Charedim, this is a binyan av. This is a rule for all Jews forever. Right, a command to remember the path that Hashem took Bnei Yisrael down. Right, for 40 years Hashem saved the Jews in the Midbar. So to us, we have to remember the entire path that Hashem has taken us all the way from birth, which is a tremendous miracle, right, up through wherever we are now, right, the countless chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. Right, the Orach Chaim writes on that pasuk, right, pasuk Yirchas, and it's telling us we have to remember all the good that Hashem has given us, because the natural human condition, as the pasuk says, is to forget and think that we are the ones, right, who are creating the good and success, and we're responsible solely, entirely for our success. As Ezra Melech, right, what does the next pasuk say? Vayam shachach tishkach, as Hashem Elokecha. Right, if you forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'alachtal acharei Elohim acharim, and you go after false gods, when you start forgetting that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you start worshipping, right, Avodah Zarah, maybe not Baal Peor, but we start worshipping the false gods of our own intellect and intelligence, the false gods of our college degrees, of our job security, of our business savvy, right, and you start worshiping those false gods, then you forget that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the lesson we learn from the mitzvah of benching, right? The source, the makor, the source that we have to bench, right? Benching is one of two brachos that are d'oraisa, right? The mitzvah d'oraisa, the bench. This week's parsha, right? Famous pasuk, v'achalta v'zavato v'irachta s'shem alokecha, right? If you eat, you become satiated, as they translate in the art scroll, right? You become full, and satisfied. Uverachten yubazakosh baruch hu. Chayal zal all over the place. Yerushalmi brachos. Sefer Achina, Fasforna, Vidraham, Torah Tzmima, Gemara brachos in the Bavli, and Daf Mem Vav, says, Birkas HaMozim is all about a karzatov. Right? The Gemara there says in brachos that a guest should lead the benching, because it's a mitzvah that's rooted in thanking Kosh Baruch Hu, should be led by someone who already needs to thank the host. Right? That's with, you're already thanking the host. You might as well remember to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see that throughout the text of benching, right? It says it all over the place. No dilecha Hashem Elokecha. Give thanks to you. Right? Who hated? Who made it? Who yated? Right? He gives us all these types of good stuff. V'alakol Hashem Elokeinu Anachnu Modim Lach. Right? For all of this stuff, we appreciate you. Thank you. Mevarachim Osach. Right, we acknowledge that Kosh Baruch Hu is the source for our food and our parnasa. Hazanas Olam Kulo Betuvo. Right, and we thank him for it. This brings to mind the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. My Rebbe Rav Sacks also was very fond of quoting this Ramban. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo talks about why are there open miracles. So the Ramban says the purpose of open miracles are to shed light on the hidden miracles, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles for us all the time. And the reason that we think something is a miracle is simply because of frequency. If something is a miracle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really doing everything. Right? The fact that we are breathing, the fact that the sun rises, the fact that, you know, Zoom works, that is also a miracle. We don't think it's a miracle because we see it all the time. The only difference between a hidden miracle and an open miracle is frequency. So Ramban says, the open miracles are to train us to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling everything. And then he says, the entire purpose of creation is liyeda uliyoda, is to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling everything, to recognize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uli yoda, and to give thanks to him about it. That is entirely the purpose of benching, right? To recognize that everything, all of our sustenance, the bread that we're eating, everything that we get, all our food, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And liyoda, and to simply thank him for it, right? The next time you bench, right? Realize, again, that we talked about that we're living in a time of massive wealth. You can get bread at every store down the block, in every city in the Western world. That's crazy, right? Learn to realize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Gamzu Latova, and that we need to thank him for everything, right? And once if you need to focus on something when you're benching, right? A lot of us just run through benching. Maybe very few of us, I try to save from a sitter. I'm not always successful. My wife is very mocked with that, right? So make sure you bench from a bencher, right? So that's the focus of benching, the liyeda liyoda, to recognize that everything is from Hashem and to give him thanks. So If you have that approach, right, if that approach to everything in your life, so now you can kind of come to Chodesh Elul, right, the month before the Yom Noraim, right, with the proper mindset, and Mitzvah Shem will be Zocha to use the month in its proper way, right, a main Kani Ratzon. All right, it's great to see everybody. Have a tremendous Shabbos, and we'll be in touch. We'll see you next week. Mitzvah Shem.